Are you like me and you can't wait, as you can tell from the hat on my head, to go on your next vacation, but you're a business owner and it's really hard to just up and leave like that? In today's video, I'm going to give you straightforward tips for how to prepare for a completely off vacation. Like, you're not responding to emails, you are on a true relaxing vacation. Or alternatively, how to prepare for a working holiday, a trip that is going to mean you're bringing some or all of your work with you while you travel. In either case, these tips are going to be super, super helpful, and I know they help me. So let's get straight into it. Welcome to Emma Givens Content and Copy. My name's Emma, and I'm the founder of a boutique agency specializing in branded copywriting and content writing for small and medium-sized businesses. I know from experience working with hundreds of businesses of all shapes and sizes that compassionate, client-centered copy and content ultimately does three incredibly powerful things. One, it helps your ideal client by matching them to a product or service that's going to improve their life. Two, it positions you as the guy they think of first and trust wholeheartedly. And three, it actually improves conversion and retention for a thriving business long-term. Are you excited to stand out to more of the clients you adore? Let's dive into some content and copy. As an entrepreneur, especially as a small business owner, either maybe as a solopreneur or with a small team, for example, my team currently has 4 people on it, plus myself, it's a lot harder than if you have a massive team to go and take a vacation, especially if it's just you. So there are some decisions to be made around that, but then there are also some tips that can really help to facilitate that change. And hopefully, if nothing else happens as a result of this video, you still feel relaxed and empowered that this is realistic for you. You can finally take some time off. In my experience, I had my business. So I started as a freelancer, but when I decided to approach this as a real business, initially as a solopreneur, not even thinking about a team, I thought it was completely impossible. I thought, if anything, I might be able to travel, like slow travel, stay for a month, 2 months at a time in a place where I could see it, but also could have kind of a regular work day. I thought that was my only option. And thankfully, this year, 2022, I started to look at it with a more open mind. Now, of course, I also decided to approach my business seriously basically right before the start of the pandemic. So there weren't a lot of ways that there were no ways that you could travel at that point. So it also wasn't top of mind, but I'm hoping that if you're watching this video, the world is totally open for you. Thankfully it is right now for me, the date of filming at least. And I have gone on a vacation this year. I've gone on a couple of working trips. And then later this year, I'm going on a vacation/working trip. I haven't exactly decided the nature yet. It's going to be my biggest challenge yet because it's really long. So it's totally doable. It was really hard to get my mind wrapped around the idea of leaving my desk, of leaving the routine and the consistency, and also being willing to have people help me. But I succeeded at it, and you can too. So without further ado, let's get into the tips. First off, you need to decide, what is the nature of this trip? Do you want to have a completely disconnected vacation, or are you okay with working? And if you're okay with working, is it going to be part-time or is it going to be full-time? The decision you make will shape the rest of how you interpret the remaining tips, but all the remaining tips will still be relevant. So for example, earlier this year, I went to Mexico. That was meant to be a completely disconnected vacation. And we're going to go into these tips later, but I batched things out. I prepared team members. I got everything set up so I wouldn't have to check in. And one thing to keep an eye out for is that you still may feel like you need to. And I did make that mistake once. I checked my email inbox and it was managed afterwards, but there was an issue that I could have waited until I got back. Suddenly it was in my head. Like, I had read something, oh, this is going to be something I have to deal with. Couldn't stop thinking about it. And I, you know, made it through that situation and the anxiety that came up as a result. But I should have, because I made the decision to make it a disconnected vacation, stuck to that. I had set things up, which we're going to talk about, to make sure I could. It was just that temptation to just, I don't know, I guess have some control. So be very wary. But also, it's totally possible to disconnect 100%, especially if it's like a few days or a week, maybe a week and a half. I think it's really realistic to disconnect when you have all the remaining tips in place. On the other hand, if you're okay with working or you feel like that's the trade-off you might need to make at this point, that gives you a lot of flexibility too. So whenever possible, I would recommend that you still plan to do part-time work versus full-time work. Because in my experience, as I planned for this trip that's coming in the fall, when I approached it as nearly full-time work, it made planning the trip really complicated. Basically, I started to realize the reason I was going to be spending so long in every given place, and the reason ultimately that I was going to be spending so much money on hotels, was because I thought I needed to work the full time. And so it ended up, yes, maybe I would have made more money if I were working that time, but I wouldn't be enjoying it. And I only needed to make more money so that I could cover the cost of staying so long in hotels, and it just didn't make sense. So instead, what I've decided to do, and what's going to be really interesting to try out this fall, is to work part-time. So I'm going to do everything I can to prepare in advance. I'm going to use tips like some of the following ones, like blocking off my calendar from projects. So that way my, you know, pressure, obligations, responsibilities, deadlines are super, super light during that month. But on the other hand, I am open to spending maybe a couple of hours a day checking emails, helping my team, maybe still having a sales call here or there, maybe still meeting with my coach here or there. But I'm going to be doing it in a really strategic way. And I have some tips about that later on. So just if you're going to work, keep in mind that those pros and cons. If you want to be a digital nomad, of course, you can work full time. You're going to be in places for a long time because you're truly living there. But we're still talking about trips, even slow travel trips. Okay, tip number two, and this applies whatever type of vacation or trip you want to take, is to start batching ahead of time. So as soon as you know you're going on that trip, batch your marketing materials ahead of time. So for example, for YouTube, you could add on maybe, you know, 2 months in advance, and you usually have 4 videos that come out in a month. So what you can do is, in, let's say it's June, record an extra 2 videos in June. Don't go completely all out, just tack on 2 extra videos. Make sure you've budgeted some time for that. In July, do the exact same thing. Budget some time for 2 extra videos. By the end of those 2 months, you've got 4, which covers the entire month of August. You're completely off. You don't need to record. So things like that. If you can set aside, maybe you decide it's worth it, I'm going to work on a Saturday to batch some email marketing or to batch social media posts for when I'm ahead. Or you can ask for help from team members. Basically, like, clear your schedule of something else to make sure that you have time for this. So you can figure out when to do it. If you're like me, you probably end up doing it on a Saturday. Because I am busy. It's hard to carve out time in my regular schedule. But by doing that, it feels worth it because I know I'm going to have a month's worth of something like YouTube videos done. And I won't have to think about it while I'm on vacation. So think about things like regular newsletters, blog posts, social media, YouTube videos, podcast episodes, because ideally you want your business to still show up even while you're gone. You want it to keep running even while you're gone. Of course, you can consider taking a vacation. In that case, I would start to plant seeds early, like when I'm recording regular YouTube videos, my like normal 4 for June, I might say at the end, next week we're going to be on vacation, or like, we're going on vacation in August. So basically you can let your audience know with a little bit of advance notice and a few times when you're going to be completely away. Again, there's some trade-offs either way. One, you have to batch a little bit early. The other, you may be losing the momentum of your social media platforms, of your search engine results, but you can decide what's right for you. 3, this is a super clear, maybe not easy, but it's a super simple tip, in that you want to block off your project calendar appropriately. So don't only block off your calendar for when you're away, but make sure you've given yourself a buffer on either side. Do not, and I know this from experience, do not have deadlines that are the day before you're meant to go on your trip. This happened to me before Mexico. I should have planned for it. I didn't. So I had to work a lot that week already. And then I was also trying to find time to pack and to, you know, maybe you're running late on your passport and you have like a last minute appointment, or just don't let yourself be jam packed with work. Plan a buffer before and plan a buffer after. Make sure you don't have to dive in the moment you get back. Give yourself, you know, an extra day or two where maybe you're not working at all, but you're just acclimating, especially if you are dealing with jet lag. And then you can smoothly get back for maybe the whole first week that you're back. And maybe you start to have projects with more pressure on them or more specific deadlines the following week. So give yourself an ample buffer when you block off your time. Tip 4, communicate your time off to everybody many different times. Make sure there are many different touch points so no one can be blindsided by it. No one can claim to be blindsided by it. This includes communicating with your clients, your team members, your referral partners, your accountant, your audience, if it's going to impact them, like we talked about, like if you decide not to publish videos while you're away. Make sure you are planting the seed early. You're also putting it in things like your email signature. So I have in mine, it's my regular email signature, but I also have a little sentence that says upcoming time off or upcoming holiday. And I'll update that if it's something like a provincial holiday, for example, but I will also update it with that date range that comes with a vacation. You might also want to put that information on your website. So for example, the way I do, I'm a service-based business owner and I do have a team. So I don't have to like shut everything down, which is great. But it does mean that the banner on my website, it's at the very, very top of the page, it says things like now booking projects for, and I can set that. So if my vacation's in August, I can set it so it already says now booking projects for September and June or July. And sometimes you're going to be doing that far out anyway because of wait lists and that sort of thing. If you're really, really booked, same principle here. Just assume instead of being booked with other projects, you're booked with your vacation and it's non-negotiable. Don't be willing to change it unless someone's paying you like an enormous rush fee and somehow it ends up being worth it that way. Another idea I had before going to Mexico this past time, because of just taking like days off, not going anywhere, but you know, taking time off last Christmas, that sort of thing, is don't rely on people seeing your email signature. Don't rely on people seeing your website because some may, but some are not reading it, especially if they're like a client that you're constantly chatting with over email. They're not going to go and like your email signature is getting invisible to them at some point. So what you want to do instead, or at least what I found really helpful for me, was to, in the week before I was going to be going, mention in an email. So maybe you can send a specific email that reminds people upcoming days off. Maybe that's the subject line. And then you tell them, you know, we won't be taking on this in the day or two before. These are the actual dates that we're off. This is what we're going to be doing to handle it in the meantime. That sort of email. Or what I even did, and I'm not sure if one is, maybe that one's better, but what I did was kind of, if someone sent me an email on a Tuesday, I would say something like, you know, and if I don't speak to you before then, I'm heading out on my vacation, my planned vacation this coming Friday. So I would make sure that I was communicating with them directly, like one-to-one. So that I think the potential pitfall of sending out that kind of blanket upcoming days off email is that maybe someone sees it as kind of like a mass email and they're not going to read it. When it's already in an email that they care about personally, hopefully it means they're going to read it. I don't know. I think you could potentially do all of it as long as it's not becoming too annoying, but you've got to figure out what works for you. These are just hopefully a menu of options to make that communication piece as easy as possible. Number five, if you have a team of any size, you want to make sure that A, you have standard operating procedures in general. So everybody knows the order, the process, and who's in charge of different aspects of the business. Maybe it's specific to different projects, specific to internal work. Like if you have a VA and the two of you pass things back and forth, when does the VA handle it? And then when does she pass it to you? When do you do something and what do you do? And when do you pass it back to them? For example, just to give you a sense of standard operating procedures, if that's kind of a newer term. So in general, you want to have those. They're great, but you definitely want to have those before you head out on a vacation. At least, and I'm going to give some leeway here because we're all growing our businesses as we're living and as we're trying to take vacations. You know, if you don't have the perfect procedures laid out in a beautiful document or at least a clear document by the time you leave, at least make sure that you have a backup plan created specific to the time you're on vacation. So you know that this person needs to be editing these videos while you're on vacation, or you know that this person is in charge of responding to these clients while you're on vacation, or this is the point person if there's an actual emergency. So you are able to say in your email signature, you know, contact Sarah. If there's an actual emergency, Sarah will be able to contact Emma, like the owner. You want to just make sure you at least have that kind of plan sorted out with your team. Make sure that you communicate with it. Try and have them participate a little bit as well and not just like hand it off, to make sure they really understand and make sure it's written down. So it's easy for everybody to follow, to check in on. If they have doubts, they don't have to call you or bother you on vacation, especially if you're on that true disconnected vacation, they can actually manage it. That would be my tip there. I'm going to leave it at that. Number six, create a contingency plan in case anything goes wrong. So we kind of talked about this in a sense. There's an emergency contact person who can get a hold of you even if you are staying disconnected from your email. You could put that in your out of office, and we'll do that in a little bit more detail in a second. But for example, in your out of office message, it can be for urgent matters, put urgent in the subject line and send to the email address of the person. They will get in contact with the founder. For example, explain to them how they can get a hold of you. If they don't normally contact you by phone, especially if you're an online business owner, you should probably give them your phone number. Even if you want to be super explicit that this is really the only time that you would use it, please use the other means of communication when I'm not on vacation. I would also add here that for most contingency plans, having access to your laptop is really important. So I know some people's goal is to leave their laptop at home. And I did do that on one very short trip. It was like 3.5 days or something like that. And it was also over a weekend. So the chances were very low that something that was an emergency would go wrong. I did also have my team kind of aware. And of course, I still have my phone and you can access your email. You can access social platforms through that. But I would say that if you can, if you can bring it with you and just have it turned off in like the bottom of your luggage, just making sure it's around could be really, really helpful. Especially right now, as I'm speaking, there are still, you know, people are still getting COVID. And so people are still quarantining or they're not able to fly. And if you get stuck somewhere, you were planning to go back to work and you have new projects coming up and hopefully you feel well enough that you could work, you just can't fly, you want to have your laptop there. So just to give a real world example, at least for the present moment, of why it sometimes is worth bringing with you. So we hinted at this before, but number seven is to set your out of office message intentionally, your auto reply. Make sure you put the dates that you're going to be away, if you'll be checking your emails at all, or between certain periods of time, or absolutely not. When you get back, you'll get back to people. Also be sure to let people know if you are going to be working, if your working hours are different because of things like time zones too. So you may be working on a reduced schedule, but you also might want to let people know that you will be working on a reduced schedule between the hours of 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. Eastern, for example, because you'll be somewhere in Europe. You can also give options for them to connect with specific team members who are meant to take care of them while you're away. So you, of course, hopefully you've communicated that ahead of time, but you can always put a reminder there. So for example, I might say, kind of a broad example, social media clients, please connect with Jen while Emma's on vacation, something like that, and give the email address. This is also where you include that emergency information. So if you are checking emails fairly frequently, you could put something like, for emergencies, please put urgent in the subject line and I will be sure to get back to you as soon as possible. Or please put urgent in the subject line and forward to this member of the team who will be sure to get in contact with me. But also think about, are there emergencies in your business? Or are there things that you think qualify as emergencies? Because things can feel like fires to your clients, but are they really? And if not, just, you know, maybe don't encourage them to send you an urgent email. I've never had anybody actually take me up on the put urgent in the subject line thing, but you never know. So just be intentional if you're going to put something like that there. Tip number eight is for those people who are planning to work for part of the time that they are traveling. My recommendation would be wherever in the world you are, usually, even if you're not a morning person, and like for me, I don't want to wake up earlier than usual to work. But what I would do when I'm away is try to do my essential work tasks in the morning. It may not be while like waking up at 5 a.m. to get it done before my day starts. It may be that I start at 8 or 9 and then work for a couple of hours and plan things for later in the day, like neighborhood exploring or going to the beach, that sort of thing. However, if you are going to be mixing up kind of relaxed days with day trips, just please write off the day trip days. Like, just don't work on them. No, you're not going to. Maybe you have extra instructions about, you know, between these days, I will be completely off the grid, but I will be available by email again on the 17th, something like that. And if you know you do have enough work to do that you should be working during those day trip days. Instead, maybe be open to doing the morning work thing on the weekend because your hours are, like everything is kind of screwed up anyway. That's one way of looking at it. But also everything is super flexible anyway, is the way of looking at it because there's no difference between weekends and weekdays while you're traveling most of the time. So maybe the day trips you just approach them like a weekend where you wouldn't work at all. And maybe on what's technically a Sunday, you do work a little bit in the morning. Actually, speaking of Sundays, that's something to consider too. In a lot of places, things are very closed on Sundays. So that might be a good day to be super relaxed. Maybe you work at a cafe in the place that you are staying and you have a really productive full day on a Sunday and a relaxing dinner that night. And then you start fresh on the Monday. That could be something worth considering. Depends on the culture of the place that you're in and their kind of norms, but I actually think that's not a bad idea. The final tip is to make sure that your calendar has adjusted itself for time zones. So usually this doesn't create huge problems. For the most part, we work with really fantastic calendar softwares now, whether that's Google or, you know, Apple calendars, whatever those are called. I'm very much a PC gal, but there are mistakes that happen for one reason or another. And sometimes you don't always know why certain events didn't transfer correctly. So at least take a skim of your schedule. I mean, before you leave could be helpful too, just to make sure you didn't accidentally keep a meeting booked that needed to be rearranged. But when you get to your new destination and when you are thinking of getting to work, if you're going to be working, take a look. Make sure everything makes sense, that it did transfer, you know, it went an hour behind if it was supposed to. For example, our amazing podcast and video producer, Berta, she was in Portugal recently, which for her is an hour behind her usual time zone. She's usually based in Spain. And for whatever reason, our meeting that we usually have did not move. Like, it stayed with the Spanish time zone. So for her, of course, she didn't know that the meeting was happening already because it was an hour behind and it wasn't on her schedule for that hour behind. But for me, it didn't move. So maybe that's a little bit complicated, but basically it's because we never figured out why. We just communicated about it. And I don't think it happened to her other meetings, but it's worth taking a check, especially if you have something important that you have to attend while you're away, or if a team member, for example, is dealing with deadlines and you set up any events for them. It could also be a good task to pass off to your VA if you have one, your virtual assistant or your operations person. But for a lot of us, it's going to be us who needs to take a peek. But doing that can give us incredible peace of mind for the rest of the trip. All right, if you listen to this on the podcast version, then please do consider subscribing to the YouTube channel so that you can see things like the goofy hat I wore at the beginning of this video, and also content that just doesn't transfer well to the podcast, like screen shares where I actually review sales pages. We have one of those coming up very soon. Thank you so much for tuning in to Emma Givens Content and Copy. If you had an aha moment or insight from today's episode, let's make it stick by writing it down in a review. It would actually mean the world to me and my entire team. You can write a review on Apple Podcasts, then screenshot it and tag me on Instagram at Emma Givens Writer. I'd be thrilled to start a conversation with you and reshare your big aha moment with the rest of the audience. Until next time, remember, your voice matters. Let's set it free. See you next week for another episode of Emma Givens Content and Copy.